I'm going to whisper really quietly now.
Okay. There's clearly one word from me, and everybody's immediately sat up and paid attention. Yes, that's right. Which may take some time. The sooner we start, the okay. So this is the see you, Alex. This is the meeting of the small but beautifully formed meeting of IDN Policy Development Process Working Group 1. We have two items on our agenda. The first is to follow the Council's resolution passed yesterday that this working group should form a subgroup to work on providing some explanation to the phrase confusingly similar that exists in the IDN fast-track documentation and the IDN fast-track implementation plan. And that follows on from the session that we had on Tuesday when Vergelis and various other people explained some of the issues that had arisen. I think that basically when we did this, we didn't... Whilst we provided a whole heap of text and input into what meaningful representation of a territory means, including references to lists and what have you, we didn't provide any guidance or guidelines as to how confusingly similar we mean and how strict or how conservative the technical committee should be. This is just an example, but one possible thing one might say in providing some guidance would be we don't think you should be worried if there's possible confusion in capital letters. It's just an example. So what we need to do is to set up a small subgroup. Vergelis, I guess you get to be on it almost by default, given that. But what we'll do is we'll send a note out to the list because obviously not everybody's here. We'll send a note out to the list and ask for a small group of volunteers. Patrick, you'll obviously be one of those.
This is Patrick. Yes, I expected that.
Thank you.
One thing that I think I think is needed is that Lyman is on the group.
Oh yes.
Because the whole idea is that whatever is produced is also possible to interpret by Lyman.
Correct.
And
correct.
Et cetera.
Microphone button. I know this morning I pressed the button while it's not recorded, and I'll forget to press it when it's recorded. It might, Patrick. Could we also ask you to identify some other experts when needed to have a look at it, so there is some support in the some broader support as well? But we leave it up to you. So Lyman is very clearly one case, one person who needs to be involved. But you may think of others.
Or you may decide that it's better to just do the work and then consult with others after it's your
problem. Yeah, but something...
Can I add something?
Yes, for yes.
I think people from Bulgaria and .eu would like to be at least observers in...
I've thought about this really carefully, and I'm not going to put a working group together that is peopled with people who have individual cases. It's just not appropriate. And the council asked this working group to do it for a reason, and that's because we have been doing this work for a long time and we have an understanding of stuff. And you're on that, so that's okay. I also think that your case is actually probably the most interesting of the three anyway, but leaving that aside, I just don't think it'll end up being... It will slow us down, because what will happen is that people will attempt to... And this is not meant to be pejorative in any way to anybody, but just as a natural thing, people will attempt to find a solution that suits what they want, as opposed to trying to find a solution for the greater good. And I think that's what we need to be doing.
The property of confusability, as I said a couple of times, have absolutely nothing to do with confusability for people that know the scripts that are involved. It is confusability for people that don't know the scripts. So we need someone that know some other scripts than Latin and Cyrillic, because having people that know Latin and Cyrillic, in reality, they actually should not do this work.
Can I just ask you to just expand on that for a second? I understand what you're saying, but it strikes me that if you have a Cyrillic idea...
I know what you're talking about. The problem here is that what we are trying to do is to protect people from, for example, going to phishing websites. To be able to know whether you go to website A or website B, you need to be able to see, to sort of detect the difference between the two. So if you have two URLs between each other, this is sort of one way of looking at it. You have two URLs between each other, and you need to know whether they are the same or not. And the ones that are phished are, of course, the ones that don't know the script.
Yes, I understand that. So if you have... So the concern would be... And I understand why it's more prevalent in Cyrillic and Greek. The concern would be that it would be possible to have a string, top level and domain name string, whilst it is actually totally in Cyrillic, looks as if it is in ASCII.
Yes, and you can also have, for example, if it is the case that you have, now everyone in this room know the Latin characters, so I can use those as examples. For people that don't know the Latin characters, it is difficult to know whether the lowest bar in a capital E is a decoration or actually carries value. What is the difference between a serif or a non-serif typeface compared to the underscore in a capital E? Which one of those include confusability? I know people in Asia that thought that the decoration because of serif font actually carried value, but it doesn't. There are people, I guess, also in this room that think that the dots over the characters in my name do not carry value, because they don't in German language, but they do in Swedish. So this is really tricky, and that is why we need to have people, while the confusability is actually something we have to look at also across scripts, like, is it the case that they carry value or not? That's also the slight difference when I talked to Tina, when she wrote the blog post, and they go through, like, this is what we are trying to, these are the various things we are looking at. What's the difference between confusability and identical? Are the characters identical or confusing? It is a little bit tricky. Mm. So having someone, the only thing I'm saying is that we need to have someone that has another script, that is professional on some other script than Latin, Cyrillic, and Greek. Mm. That can all, because they will absolutely make a different judgment than what we will make.
I understand. Okay. So does that mean then that we should probably... Hi, Lyman. Does that mean then that we should probably say that we are going to ask... We may well ask for expert advice on certain scripts, yeah? Okay. Okay, fine. All right. So if we can Bart, say that we're... I don't think we need a charter for this, but I think we just need a sort of overarching statement of what this is about, and maybe say that we'll ask... for our independent, if necessary, for independent experts. So if we send a call out to the working group for volunteers, a small number of volunteers, send a note to Lyman asking him if he would also come into this sub working group, That would be great. Dennis, I don't know if this is of any interest to you from your point of view, but you're very welcome if you want to be involved. It's entirely up to you. I mean, you're most welcome. But
no, I think not.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I'd love to, but... Yeah,
I understand. I completely understand, and in fact, in your shoes. okay, so once we've got the group together... we will have a Bart will schedule a first call, and we'll try and start this as quickly as we possibly can. Generally from experience, it takes about a week for ICANN-ness to calm down and for people to actually start responding properly. So I'd imagine that within the next sort of 2 weeks or so, we can probably have a call. The goal is obviously to try and deal with it as quickly as possible, but having said that, we need to get it right, so we don't want to rush it. Have I covered everything on that as far as you're concerned, Bart?
I think, yes.
Microphone, Bart. Yeah.
Yes.
For the purposes of the yes. Excellent. Okay, and that then brings me to the second item, which...
Maybe just one question. I think what is... I'm just checking. This is going to be a very intense small group with very, very regular calls in order to speed things up. So that will be as part of one of the criteria as well for those people who want to attend.
Yes.
If you're volunteering, they need to know this could be two or three calls a week.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. So I can't even remember how many people are on this working group, but I guess we'll and it, look, if we don't, if we'll work it out, it'll be fine. Okay. And the second item that we need to deal with is a formal resolution following on from our discussions with members, which is that given that we can actually see progress being made in respect to variants, that Dennis's study group's being set up, and that there's a real timeline, etc., that we should stand ready to assist in any way that we can, and that must not just this working group, obviously, but the community generally, but also that we agree to suspend the work of this working group on the policy development process, pending the outcomes of Dennis's group's VIP study, and that we should formally, I think, Bart, that we should, for process, we should formally communicate that to the council. Yeah. That the council, that's what we're doing.
Maybe just Dennis, could you explain what you expect from this working group, or what your expectations are, or how do you foresee the members of this working group could be of assistance to you?
Yes, thank you. Dennis Jennings here. Right now we've published the draft project plan. So the immediate task is to get appropriate feedback on that so that we can finalise the project plan and get it approved. So we'd appeal to the CCNSO community to have an interest to have a look at the project plan and respond to it and provide us with input and advice. The first activities are going to be to identify those who already have expertise in this area and the current activities, the JIG, for example, we've already talked to. To have a call, and how formal this is going to be, I don't know, for expressions of interest for people to participate in the case studies. We will be calling for information on existing implementations of IDN, CCTLDs, and IDNs in second level domains, so that we build a database of what facts exist on the ground. The objective is, as quickly as possible, to form these case study teams. But I can't at this moment give you a clear definition of what that is. It needs to be both comprehensive and small and effective. It needs to let's take the easiest case, Cyrillic. We've been told by a Russian expert there are no variants in Cyrillic, so we very much like to have the community who knows something about Cyrillic come and confirm that. But now we're talking about our definition of variants. Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I just need to ask a clarifying question. One of the dangers when you talk about a script is that a script is used in many languages, and the danger is to talk with the language group or country which is dominant. So for example, the Hebrew script, you should not talk to people that speak Hebrew. So Cyrillic is not only used in Russia.
Well, indeed, it's used in a very large number of languages. So that's what I meant by comprehensive.
Okay.
And yet we need it to be effective. We need to work out how the case study teams form themselves. Certainly ICANN shouldn't be going, well, we'll have you and you, and thank you very much, everybody else. So there's a process that we have to go through, the emerging group of people have to go through to form themselves, and we'll support and facilitate that. Does that require a meeting? So we're feeling our way. This is an enormously complex project that we haven't. They're only starting, and we haven't properly defined how we're going to even do the first steps. So we need input and assistance on that.
Can I ask something? Do you refer to variants within the language itself? Because in some cases there might be some variants, especially if the strings are quite big, the chosen strings, or variants in different languages, like one country, three languages. I take something and it's dot something in one language, second language, third language.
I wish I was expert enough to respond clearly to that question. So can I do the political thing and say, I've noted your question, can I discuss it with you afterwards? Thank you.
I think that I was going to ask you a question as well. Thank you very much. But I think that... Wow. It's stopped now. They have.
That's a call to arms, literally. Yeah.
My understanding is that we're talking about a circumstance where the TLD string, which obviously we're only talking at the TLD level, the TLD string has a variant. The problem is, of course, that we don't have a definition of what a variant is. So until such time as we come up with an explanation that we're satisfied with as to what is a variant, then China can claim that simplified across traditional is variant, and it may well be, I don't know. And, you know, I've heard some people suggesting, for example, that where a country name is sometimes written all in lowercase and sometimes written with an uppercase letter in the middle of it, that is a variant. But maybe not, don't know. And then, yes, Dennis?
Our starting definition of a variant is that where a single conceptual character, and that's the word we're using, that some people say it should be, has two or more code points, so that they are they're variants of the character, but they are conceptually the same character. Now, that's a very narrow definition. We think that the broader definitions are really about confusability, not variance, and we're focused on that definition of variance. But of course, that may not be sufficient, and the early indications are that in Arabic, that actually doesn't mean anything. That it's confusability that is the issue, not variance. But I'm just herding cats. That's my role. I don't necessarily have to understand cats.
Climen?
Yeah, there's a sort of an interesting additional twist in that, for the same script, a character or character sequence might be considered a variant when that script is used in one language and not a variant when it's used in another language. So there are usages of the Arabic script to write one language in which two characters are considered to be equivalent. The same script, same character is used by a different language that uses the Arabic script. Those two characters are distinct. So it's, and one of the things that I think was most important from the session that you had yesterday was, and we've talked about this, is the fact that I think a lot of people, perhaps up until that session, had the impression that the whole variance thing was a matter of just convenience for, yeah, you know, one language group or another. That it, you know, if you just decided to be restrictive with your rules, you could just simply say, no, you can't do this, or no, you can't do that, and it would be an inconvenience to some people, but wouldn't really be that big a deal. And in fact, no, it is fundamental to the way in which some languages use some scripts, and the impact is broad enough, both in terms of within a single use of a script by a language, but also in terms of its of the number of users of those scripts and languages, that it's an issue that goes way beyond convenience. It strikes to the very usability of IDNs in the space in which we're talking about. And I think that was a very important consequence of that meeting, and we ought to be emphasizing it where we have the chance.
Okay, to broaden this discussion, in let's I know Greek, so I'll be in a Greek example, of course. We have, if you make a TLD out of a word, then this is word is spelled with a punctuation form that is called tonos over the specific letter that is to be pronounced more loudly. But in uppercase, the tonos goes away. And these two characters, the letter with the tonos and the letter without the tonos in uppercase, are different characters in Unicode. That's one issue that has to be in there. And furthermore, if you have a final sigma at this word, it's final sigma if in lowercase, it's normal sigma if it's in uppercase. So that means that if you wanted to give a TLD that has a tonos and ends in a final sigma, you have to provide four different domain names to fully describe this specific word.
Dennis, then Hiro.
If I may, the focus of this project is to end up with a statement of requirements or a statement of the user expectations. Of course, you have to then add reasonable user expectations, but I'm not quite sure how we get to reasonable rather than expectations, so that we have a problem statement that we can then look at to see whether it can be implemented and how it might be implemented. So, I mean, it seems like a very small step just to get a statement of the user requirements, and to take a year to do that. But I think people now understand, having looked at the complexity, or some of the complexity of the problem, that that's actually very ambitious to get that user expectation or a user requirements statement out of this project.
Hiro.
Yes, I'd like to give you another example. Chinese language and Japanese language share thousands of characters. And character A and B, for example, are different characters from the Japanese side, but in Chinese languages, those two are defined as variant. So in the CCTLD world, it's all right, because we use only Japanese scripts, Japanese domain name, and for China, Chinese domain name. But for .asia, they are launching the IDN for CJK. And from the viewpoint of Japanese people, those A, character A and B, are different one. But from the Chinese people, those are the variants, the same characters. So how to define the variants in GTLD world? That's a mess, I think.
Yes, I had heard about this, which is why. Now let me back up a little bit. the Chinese are very anxious, of course, to move rapidly. Perfectly reasonable. But we need to make sure before we agree to even ask the question, may Chinese move more rapidly than others, is whether there is a really a complete statement of requirements in a GTLD world. And what you're pointing out suggests to me that the assurances we're getting from the Chinese may not be complete, that there is a complete statement of the user requirements. So this is subtle but very important, and I thank you for bringing up the point.
Chris, may I add to that one? That's one of the I put off my role as hat as an ICANN staff a bit. Is if you go back to the board resolution, it talks about GTLDs. If you look at the project plan, that letter G has disappeared. And so going back to what Hiro is saying, I think, and that's one of the issues we came across in the JIG as well, is that you start developing solutions for, say, in principle overarching scripts, while, say, what Hiro is already pointing out to, say, because in the CCTLD world, in principle, they're restricted to, I would say, script language users in one country and to other countries, that you start mixing these two issues as well.
Well, that's why our first request is you respond to the draft project plan to put us right.
It's one of those subtle changes how the project plan has changed. And I don't know whether it's good or bad. I think it's good that you have an over-encompassing study. But it's very dangerous, and I see it in the JIG, is that, say, the solutions of in the new or for new GTLDs or IGN GTLDs is almost superimposed on the CC world, and that's where you will probably see some frictions. But that's just
all right. So I think we can what. Thank you. So we can. I think we're done, aren't we? We just need to. You had something else?
Just to recap, say for this working group, what Dennis is expecting. Dennis is expecting, say, input and provide input and on the public commons. And secondly, is and that's more an action for us as support, is that to find people to get in touch with your project plan, and then from there you can take them on. So as part of while this the working group goes into hibernation, so it doesn't mean people who are involved in working group can do other stuff.
All right. Okay, so we're done on that. We've got to write formally just to the council to say that we're going to, apart from this sub-working group, we're going to stop working on the PDP for now. And unless there's anything else, I think we are completed. So, Bart, you'll send out the call for volunteers and a note to Lyman to say please go and join us. And we'll go from there. All right. Thanks very much, everybody. Meeting closed.